We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
If revival were to come, it would be evident because the Holy Spirit would be present. There is no revival if there is no presence of the Holy Spirit. And I know that on occasion we can get a little apprehensive when we start talking about the Holy Spirit, particularly if we're of a particular denomination. And I know being a part of the denomination that I came to know the Lord in, there was a little this, and not just put on the Holy Spirit and more on Jesus. And not that we should minimize the work of Jesus, but you do understand that Jesus left and he said that he was leaving with us the Helper, called the Holy Spirit. And I am so excited about opening up the Word of God tonight. Before we do that, do me a favor. If you have a prayer card, pass it to the inside aisles. The team members are going to go ahead and collect them. And then if you're a youth, you're dismissed to head off to meet with the youth tonight for the remainder of our session. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Gospel of John. Turn to the fourth chapter. We looked at it yesterday morning. It was speaking of the woman at the well. I will say this again. According to the Scripture, it says, to him who speak, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. To him who serves, let him serve with the strength which God supplies. Why? So that in all things God may be glorified. Our focus here as a ministry is to not bring recognition to a particular individual or a ministry team, but to bring our attention to the Word of God and to ask God to speak to us tonight. God has a fitting word for us. Last night we looked in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, and the Scripture said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now that word blessed, I want to explain that to you in relationship to what it really means. The word blessed could be substituted with the word approved. And God is saying, I approve of those, I commend those who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Got showered, and this morning my day began about 4:30, and got up, got dressed, got showered, and left the house, which would be my trailer. That's what we live in, a 54-foot trailer that has about 600 square feet, that on any given time there's at least six children, or as many as six children, two adults and two dogs that are occupying that little dwelling. That's our home, and we left that this morning, me and my son, and I was on the way to taking him to the airport, and he was flying out, and this is my firstborn son. Any of you have one of those? You know, I've got six kids, four girls, two boys, and I'll only have one firstborn son. And he's my buddy. He was flying back to college, and he turns 21 this coming week. And I get choked up thinking, the older I'm getting, the more sentimental I'm getting. And I love this boy. And he wanted to know that I loved him as I sent him on his way. I stepped out of the car and put my arms around him, and I'm man enough to be able to give him a kiss, and I planted one right there on his cheek, and I said, buddy, I love you. It's as if his countenance changed. I said, buddy, I want you to know something. I'm proud of you. You go back and you continue to work hard and you excel at what God's called you to do. And as he started to pull away, it wasn't enough for me. So I gave him another hug and I gave him another kiss. And I said, now get out of here. And it was as if he wanted to be affirmed in that moment. Approved of his Father. And our Heavenly Father says this, I approve of you. When you hung back, I put my lips on your cheek. I love you and embrace you. When you hunger and you thirst for righteousness, for then you shall be satisfied. You know that God wants you in this very moment to step out of the tyranny of the urgent, the busyness of your life, all that you've been facing, and just hit the pause button to connect with Him, because He's got something special for you. He doesn't want anybody to leave here tonight without recognizing this fact. You can have as much of Him as you want, or as little of Him as you want. But it's up to you. How much do you want? So we encountered this woman yesterday morning in John chapter 4. And Jesus reveals to her His Messiahship, that He is the Lord. And He says in verse 13, now everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again. And He was making reference to the well that she was drawing the water from. And this water that she was drawing from will only satisfy for just a particular season. And then you'll long again and you'll have to repeat the process. But He goes on to say, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. So there is this sense in which God is saying through His Son Jesus to this woman that if you come and you receive what it is that I have for you, that you will find ultimate satisfaction and it will never depart from you. You can quench it, you can grieve it, but it will still always be there. How much of it do you want? As a matter of fact, what this affords you is the real opportunity to worship me. You know why many of us have a sense of reservation in worshiping God? I believe it's because we're not consumed with God, and we're not saturated with God. He says that we'll be able to worship Him. Jump up with me to verse 23. It says, but an hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be His worshipers. Verse 24, God is spirit. And those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. We did this little exercise last night. We identified substitutes in our life that have a tendency to take the place of God. Some of them can be good things that subtly creep in and take over our lives. And the exercise last night was to identify them, to pour them out of our lives, readily acknowledge, God, we need you. So the question is tonight, as we continue on this thirst conference, what do we fill ourselves with? My mom used to say this, honey, garbage in, garbage out. Honey, you are what you eat. What are you filling yourself with? Okay? It's vitally important that we retain the Word of God and that we remain in the Word of God so that what comes forth out of us is the Word of God. And we're no longer really longing to eat the Word of God. We like to have little snippets of God. That's how we do life. We don't even talk with one another anymore. We text one another. Texting is hard to read because you can't read body language. You can't read tone. You don't know what's going on, but you just get these little snippets. And it's like we live in a texting society where that's how we even have our relationship with God. A little text of Scripture here and a little text of Scripture there. But I want us to eat tonight and drink. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. I want us to fill ourselves with the right thing. There's a guy, anybody of you heard the name Frank Outlaw? What a name. How'd you like to have that name? Let me share a quote with you from Frank Outlaw. Watch your thoughts, they become your words. Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. And watch your character, it becomes your destiny. You see, garbage in, garbage out is a reality. What you eat is what you are. It begins with the thought process. And that's why God says, set your mind on things above, not on things upon the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hidden, Christ in God. Scripture says that we are to renew our minds. And so God wants us to saturate ourselves with His presence. He wants us to be filled with the right thing. Now, turn with me over to chapter 7 of John. I want us to look at another passage of Scripture here. Jesus is making a proclamation. I mean, He is stepping up and He is stepping out and He is going to communicate an absolute truth here. And I want you to get it. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and He cried out. So He wasn't sheepish about this. And this is what He said. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart then will flow these rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those believed in him were to receive. So tomorrow, Marianne is looking forward to the opportunity. And those of you who don't know who Marianne is, that's my girlfriend. And just so we're on the same page, she happens to be my wife, too. So my girlfriend is my wife. She's my sweetheart, my darling, my lover. She goes by the nickname Mal. And some people have come to me, well, you know what Mal means, don't you, in Spanish? It means bad. And I said, yes. She's bad. Bad to the bone. But she is coming tomorrow to speak to about 180 ladies. That's kind of cool, you know? There's going to be about 180 ladies, almost a 30-year church, showing up for a woman's conference tomorrow, 11:30 to 1. What needs to come out of her is the Word of God, infused by the Spirit of God. So Marianne's going to have opportunity to talk about me tomorrow to you guys, to let you know how good of a husband I really am. I want you to know something. It's a challenge being a dad. It's a challenge being a husband. It's a challenge living with six kids from the age of 13 to 25. I just wish God would have made it a little bit easier for me. Why can't they just all learn the same thing the same way without me having to figure out six different ways to try to communicate to them? I mean, my life is being made difficult by six of these kids, not to mention the wife, the two dogs on top of that. It can be a real challenge in the core, day-to-day, mundane of life. You know, God specializes in mundane. I haven't got a chance of being the man, being the father, and being the husband that God's called me to be apart from the Spirit of God. You do not finish well by accident. When Marianne and I got married 26 years ago in Sarasota, there were eight other couples within our church, within our singles group, that got married. Six of those couples have divorced. out of the six that divorced, several of them went on to remarry and divorce and remarry. Now, I don't know all of the circumstances surrounding all of that, and I'm not here to speak about the other six nor the other seventh one, but I'm going to speak about mine. There are so many things that I'm not good at. But I have wanted to be the best husband that I could be to my wife, and the best father that I could be to my kids, and the best man that I could be to humanity. And I know that I am not going to be that just by accident. You've got to work at it. You've got to be intentional. Today, we don't want to work at things. We don't want to be intentional. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I just kind of go as it comes and goes. And look at what is happening to our church. I don't like where we're at. And I believe that God doesn't like where we're at. And God wants us to become an intentional people that succeed not in our own strength, but in the strength of the Spirit. Look at what he says. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those believed in him were to receive, that out of their heart will flow rivers of living water. Romans 8 says this, verse 4 and following, do not walk in the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. This just doesn't happen. You've got to be intentional about it. So I'm going to challenge you. I believe that you have the capacity to rise to whatever God calls you to be. And God has not called you to be a failure. God has called you to succeed. And success is not defined by the world, but it's defined by His Word. And He is saying, what I call you to be, you can be. Because I've given you my Spirit. Now set your mind on the Spirit. John chapter 14, we get a picture. I'm going to give you several passages of Scripture of who the Spirit is. The Scripture says this, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another. Who is another? The Helper, to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. And you know Him, for He dwells with you, and you will and will be in you. So we have this Helper that is given to us. In essence, if we break this passage of Scripture down, we can recognize this about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is our helper, and the Holy Spirit dwells in the life of every believer. I was the youngest of three boys. My oldest brother was 12 years older than me. My middle brother was 8 years older than me. My middle brother has since gone home to be with the Lord. My middle brother, Scott, he was a preemie baby. He was epileptic and mildly retarded. He had a very difficult life growing up. And being that I was 8 years younger than him, I actually ended up coming to a point in my life where I surpassed him because of my level of comprehension and my skill set, and I actually ended up being the bigger brother to my older brother, having to care for him. There were things that Scott and I always didn't see eye to eye on. There were arguments, and there were difficulties, there came a point in time where Scott and I got into a blowout fight. Now, remember, he would have been in his 40s at this point in time. I would have been in my 30s. Even though he had a child's mentality, he had very much a man's body. And we went at it. And I'll never forget that it wasn't a pretty sight. And I sent him home, and he lived in an assisted living facility, and he recorded me a microcassette. You remember the days of the microcassettes? He recorded a microcassette for me. And I hadn't heard it for years, and recently, within the past travel year, somebody came to me and said, here's a micro cassette, now you can listen to the mini cassette. Because I had the mini cassette sitting in my drawer, but I just had no way to listen to it. And so I replayed it within the last couple of months. And it went something like this. Ryan, I love you. I want you to know that I will always be something that you will never be. And that is that I will be your older brother. You may be smarter than me. You may be married. You may have children. But you will never be the older brother. And if I recall, somewhere in that Bible that you preach, it says to respect your elders. The Holy Spirit was working through a special needs brother to speak to a hard-headed preacher who was at odds with his older brother. Don't ever, ever, ever underestimate how the Holy Spirit wants to move in you and through you to communicate a truth to others and reveal truth to you. He is God. He is our helper. And he dwells in the life of every believer. And what should be evident in a revived church is a church that is living in the power of the Holy Spirit. Not in our own strength, dear people. You see, a real question begs to be asked. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you under the influence of the Holy Spirit? Being under the influence of the Holy Spirit requires a conscious decision to allow the Holy Spirit to empower you to obey God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, and I hope you've come with your Bibles, to the book of Ephesians. Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, chapter 5. One of my favorite passages of Scripture. In Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, the Scripture says this, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you, gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." So there's this concept that we are to be an imitator. You know, many of us try to imitate the society that is around us. We try to wear our hair like the way that we see it on a billboard or in a magazine or on a television show. We try to buy the clothes that present themselves as being the in garment or live in the right neighborhood or drive the right vehicles. And we're all imitators to some varying degree. And it says that imitation is a form of flattery. As a matter of fact, I can remember when I was a kid, my mom and dad, not saved at the time, took me to see this godless show, Saturday Night Fever, 1977, living in Palm Springs, California. And John Travolta, and you know, he's walking down the road, and he's strutting, and he's got this sequin shirt, and back then it was okay for guys to wear high heels like gals, and so he's wearing these high heel shoes. I mean, I know some of you still have the clothes in your closet. You're waiting for it to come back, all right? You're going retro. But I can remember there was a nation of men that were trying to walk like John Travolta and do the whole, you know, shtick. It was a movement. It was a craze. And we were trying to reflect his image. The Scripture says here, be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love just as Christ also loved you, gave himself up for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. When you're walking, do you look like Christ? Are you under the influence? When you're speaking the words, do they sound like Christ? Jump with me up to verse 15. Father, I just want to thank you for your word. Verse 15, it says this. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. All right, you ready? How many of you want to know what the will of the Lord is? I mean, I have people ask me all the time, I just wish I knew what God's will is for my life. God's saying, well, then know what the will of the Lord is. Don't be foolish. Understand how you ought to walk. I'm going to give it to you right now, how you ought to walk. I don't want you to be foolish. I want you to be wise. Listen to what he says. Here's what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. When I became a believer in Christ, and my mom and dad became believers in Christ, my mom and dad immediately extracted me out of the worldly environment that I was in. I was a public school kid. I mean, that's where I ran. That's what I grew up knowing. And they got saved, so I got saved. And they put me into an independent, fundamental, King James-only, Bible-believing Baptist school. Amen. Culture shock, I got to be honest. Remember, I'm Jewish. I'm a kid growing up in Florida. I'm used to shorts and flip-flops. And the school required belts, shoes with socks, hair above the ears and the collar. And I'm like, wow. Now, I share the story with you because in this Christian school, it was amazing all of the godless activity that was taking place within the student body. We had sexual immorality, we had drinking, we had stealing, we had lying, we had adultery. I remember hearing a preacher come in, cleared a spot to pitch a fit. And he was reading out of the passage of Scripture right here, and I'm a new believer, okay? And I'm observing what's going on and how I've been indoctrinated into this. And there was a drinking problem in the school. And he pulls out this passage of Scripture and he says this, and I want to tell you young people what the Word of God has to say. Don't be drunk with wine, for it is a sin. Can I get an amen? And he left it at that. Grossly negligent in the handling of the Scripture and putting the emphasis on the wrong thing. Putting the emphasis on moral conformity without the heart and the mind being impacted. And it really didn't curb the problem. Because what the emphasis should have been put on is, dear people, recognize the substitute that you're consuming will never satisfy you. God wants you to be filled with His Spirit. He wants you to be under the influence of His Spirit, not the alcohol. I'm going to ask a question. Hair stands on the back of people's necks when I ask a question. How many of you have ever been intoxicated? Would you raise your hand? Keep it up there for a second. We want to get this on camera so we can make sure everybody is accounted for. Okay, a number of you, myself included. And if you didn't see my wife's hand, she was too. How many of you say, well, I've not been intoxicated, but maybe a little buzzed? Anybody just maybe a little buzzed? Okay, all right. Technicality, letter of the law, being buzzed is intoxicated. Yeah. Misery loves company. All right, I love to get you. All right? Okay, now, recognize this, that when you were intoxicated, that which you consumed was directing you to do that which you were doing. You were under the influence of alcohol. The alcohol dictated how you acted. Christ is saying, God is saying, we ought to be filled in such a way that that which we are filled with controls us. Just as if we were intoxicated with alcohol. It's not a coincidence that this is being addressed to the church of Ephesus. This is the book of Ephesians. The author of this text was using a common reality of what was taking place where people were being consumed with alcohol and being under the influence of the alcohol. So he was trying to paint a case here that the way that you see people running around under the influence, you ought to walk in a manner to where you are under the influence of the Spirit of God. Listen, if you were drunk and I gave you a breathalyzer test and you were to take it and it registered skunk drunk, there'd be no confusion. But can I ask you this? What if God were to arrest us right now, pull us over, and give us a spiritual breathalyzer? Where would we register as the Church of Christ? Would we even register? You know why we don't have revival in our churches today? Because we don't want revival in our churches today. And you know why we don't want revival in our churches today? Because we won't be able to walk as we want to walk. And how we want to walk, unfortunately, more often than not, is like the world. But if you're going to walk like the world, you're going to get what the world has to offer. And what the world has to offer you is temporal. God loves you so much that He's giving you His simple instruction manual to understand so that you can experience success in your marriage, success as a single person, success as a widower, success maybe in your divorce state, success as a child, success no matter if you're rich, poor, young, old, healthy, ill. He's giving you what you need to succeed. Acts chapter 4 says this, and when they had prayed, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians, we get this picture of what that looks like. It's what I just simply described to you. I want you to get what I'm putting down. I want you to be able to grab hold of it. I want you to understand that, man, God really wants you to succeed at this. What are some of the benefits and evidences of being filled? Well, you know what? I don't wonder whether or not I'm saved. There is this sense that I have an assurance of salvation. Romans 8 says, you did not receive the spirit of bondage, but you received the spirit of adoption. The Spirit Himself bears witness that we are children of God. I have never once questioned my salvation. I haven't. I believe what it says. I confessed and I repented. Now, does that mean that those who have doubted aren't? No, I'm just telling you, God has given me a sense of confidence by His Spirit that I am saved. What is another benefit? Man, I am able to exhibit Christ's character. What do I mean by that? The fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. My son and I, the one who I told you that I kissed at the airport and kissed again and affirmed him and told him I am approving of him, he and I a while back got into it. You know, it's okay if you get into it with the ones that you love, as long as you make it right. My wife, I was telling somebody, came from this quiet home. You notice I'm not so quiet? You ever see that movie, Big Fat Greek Wedding? Big fat Jew wedding. Just, I mean, My dad and I would go at it, and my wife would look at us and like, oh, they're going to kill one another. And then we'd say, I love you, and we'd kiss one another and leave. You're weird. But my son and I were going at it. And I looked at my son, and I said, boy, don't make me lose my patience with you. Well, Well, the Holy Spirit resides on the inside, and so I got this tapping from the inside. Ryan, you can't lose patience. You just forego it. Because it exists in you. You quench it and grieve it. I wanted to walk down the losing the patience and God saying, no, you have patience. Get over here. You have love. You have joy. You have peace. Many of us have it, but what we're doing is we're walking in our own strength. And it's not evident because we're not walking in His strength. What's a benefit or an evidence? We experience victory over sinful habits. Again, how can I say that? Because Romans 8 says, do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. As born-again believers in Christ, you know what? I have the capacity to choose not to sin. Why do we get mad at a lost world for sinning? I mean, seriously. They don't have the Spirit within them. They haven't been born again. They haven't repented. They haven't confessed Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Why are we getting mad and trying to condemn a lost world? Let the judgment of God begin first in the house of God. And by the way, the church is not a geographical location or a building. It is a group of people. And more often than not, what we end up doing is seeing ourselves as the church is as spectators, and we're not supposed to be spectators, we're supposed to be participants in this community. Amen. And what God is saying, man, you don't have to sin. Now you choose to, but you don't have to. You can experience victory. You can have an empowered ability to be a witness. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. When was the last time you shared the gospel? You know that God has given you a moment today and multiple moments within the day to be His light? Well, I don't want to infringe. I don't want to impose. You're going to let somebody just bypass the opportunity to hear the good news? Could it be that you maybe don't even believe what it is that you say you believe? We're walking in our own strength. You don't finish well by accident. You need the Spirit of God. Do me a favor, open up that little handout that you have. And some of you, if you've been taking notes, God bless you. Everything that I said pretty much is in here. But if you turn to page 12, I want you to do a little exercise with me. And on page 12, there's a simple test, and the question is asked, who gets control? And I want us to look at the course of our life within the last maybe 48 hours. Can we do that? Nobody cheating. You don't have to look at what somebody puts as their answer and make it your answer. It's your own answer. We are to be filled with and walk in the power of the Spirit according to Galatians. Circle the word that best characterizes your behavior and attitude within the last 24 to 48 hours. Let me ask you, have you been loving or have you been self-centered? Scripture says, love one another. Guys, how many times have you walked past the little trash can that sits by the vanity in your bathroom that's maybe overflowing with every bit of Q-tip and toilet paper and tissues and dead stuff Have you thought about maybe helping your wife out and loving her by emptying that? You thought about maybe helping her make a bed? Somebody once said, is there anything greater than young love? And the answer is yes. It's old love. You don't finish well by accident. You're self-centered. Joyful. Has that characterized you in the last 24 to 48 hours, or are you gloomy? Women? I just picked on the men, so fair game, women. You know, I want to let you women in on a secret. There's a thing out there called UMS. Not to be confused with PMS. But very similar in its nature. UMS is ugly men syndrome. Happens at random, there's no cycle to it. It's harder for you to detect it. But women, you at least have an idea as to when it's happening. Can your husband come into your presence without you looking so gloomy and ready to rip his head off his neck and express joy? Oh, you don't understand. You're right, and thankfully so. Sometimes we have to laugh at these things to swallow them, but the Holy Spirit lives in you. Why do you make it an excuse that the Holy Spirit can't enable you to get over? A Spirit-led person is a peacemaker. Some of you thought that this was the lost fruit, agitator. Your home is a home of turmoil. People don't want to come into your home. People don't want to come into your presence. Are you patient? A person in the flesh is usually impatient. Are you kind? I think as a society we've lost the capacity to really be kind to one another. I made this comment yesterday. We don't stop to look in people's eyes anymore. We look past them, we look around them, we look through them because it might cost us something and we don't want to give what it might cost us. We don't want to be kind to use what it is that God's given us in way of our time and our talent and treasures to minister. We're inconsiderate. We pass the person with the sign. Ah, vagrant. Ruining our taxes. You're going up because of people like that. Spirit-led person is helpful. Flesh-led is unaccommodating. Spirit-led person is faithful. But a flesh-led person is negligent. Spirit-led person is gentle. But a flesh-led person is harsh. Question is, are you spirit-controlled or flesh-controlled? Dear people, you are entitled to experiencing an encounter with God every time you come to church. I'm providing you an opportunity to encounter God. You say, how so, Ryan? Make application to the truth that you've just heard tonight. Danger is we come to church and we hear it, but we hear it with so many other nuggets of truth and we have no application. Close with this. All who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God, the children of God. those that come behind you, those that live beside you, do they know that the Spirit of God resides in you? Revival is evident when the Holy Spirit's present. How present is the Spirit of God? Now, the team saying there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And that's truth. But don't confuse condemnation with conviction. If the Spirit of God convicts you, can you thank Him for loving you enough to show you what's lacking? For reminding you what you have the capacity to be and do? Don't leave here downtrodden. Leave here rejoicing, walking in the manner in which He's called you to walk. I don't think I've ever read an account of Jesus kind of, well, I don't know, God. You sure? I got to go talk to them. Don't walk around like that. Christ was crucified, left, so that we might receive the Spirit of God. God's not left you bankrupt. Collect on what He's given you. It's without limit. It's a wellspring. Let's go back to the woman at the well. Let's go back to her encounter with Jesus. It will be with no end. It will well up within you. Can we thank God tonight? Do you stand with me? Now, tomorrow night, I'm going to share with you what it looks like to take that which we have been filled with and to be used for the glory of God. Don't skip out. Weariness makes cowards of all of us. Oh, I'm getting weary. Buck up. Come on. Because pretty soon we're going to be gone and you're going to say, where'd the time go? Bring somebody with you. If you're elated in reminding yourself of the truth of God's Word and it's an encouragement to you, don't let others straggle out there alone. Bring them with you. We're going to find out how now we live this life that He's filled us with for His glory, being a light in the midst of darkness. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the truth of Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for the gift that You have given us in the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank You, Lord, that we can live to the degree in which You've called us to live, and we can accomplish it not in our own strength, but in Your strength. And Father, I want to readily acknowledge that when I'm endeavoring to do it in my own strength, I grow weary real quick, and I want to quit, and I want to just cash in the chips and maybe doubt what this is all about. But Lord, when I finally give in and I give up to You that which You are asking, and that is to reign in my life, You give me the ability, God, to move in a manner that honors You. God, may this church move in a manner that honors You. May Your precious people here tonight be under the influence of Your Spirit. May they rejoice in the truth of Your Word. Can you just, in a moment of silence, thank God for His Word tonight? Can you let Him know? Let Him know that you're thankful for it. Can you tell God that you love Him? Why don't you go a step further and say, God, I want You to reveal more to me. How about praying this one? God, would you help me be obedient to what you've showed me tonight? Just make that your own personal prayer. Help me, Lord, walk by the Spirit. Lord, we love you. We give you praise. In God's holy name, I pray. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.